Somebody said with me, he lives. He lives. He lives. He lives. He lives. Stand to your feet for the reading of the Word of God. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. My, what's singing? What's singing? What's singing? Matthew chapter 21. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage under the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strode them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Say that with me. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Since they asked the question, who is this? Since they didn't know, I think I'll tell them this morning. So the title of my message today is, let me tell you who Jesus is. Let me tell you who Jesus is. You may go to your seat. Jerusalem, you ought to know. You are the one who should, above everybody else, know who this man is. Jerusalem, you should know. You've had the prophets. You've had the scribes. Even the scribes, when asked of Herod, where is he that is born? The scribes told Herod he was born to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Jerusalem, you had the prophets, you had the scribes, you've had visits of angels, you have had religious rituals for hundreds of years, you have had the blood of bulls and turtle doves and goats flowing like rivers. The blood was flowing to sacrifice to the Almighty God who promised a new covenant. You have read from Moses and David and Isaiah and Micah. Jerusalem, you ought to know. You ought to know. You had a visit from the wise men of the east seeking the Messiah. You are without excuse as to who this is coming down from the Mount of Olives into the streets of Jerusalem. But since you're asking, I think I ought to tell you. This is the one who pulled the rib out of Adam to make Eve. This is the one who guided elephants and kangaroos and hippos and rhinos and lions and cheetahs into the same boat. This is the one who is the true Passover lamb who brought you up out of Egypt. This is the one who put his hand over you for a cloud and lit a fire for you in the desert by night. This is the one who gave Jacob his dream about the ladder ascending and descending from heaven. This is the one who would fulfill the law. This is the one Isaiah represented as he waited for Rebekah. This Isaac represented as he waited for Rebekah. This is the one Balaam shouted about when he said, there is the shout of a king in your midst. This is the one who is greater than Solomon. This is the one who is a greater than a Jonah. This is the one who wrestled with Jacob until the breaking of the day, and changed his name from liar and deceiver and an outcast to a prince with God and with man. This is the one who met Joshua on the battlefield around Jericho and told Joshua that he was the commander in chief, not Joshua, and Joshua was to follow him. This is the one who is to sit on the throne of David. This is the one Isaiah was referring to when he said, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom of the arm is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Surely, 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 yet they did smitten him, and he was smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shears is dumb, yet he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he smitten. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make thy soul his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. I came to tell you today, Jerusalem, that's who he is. This is the one who was Ruth's kinsman redeemer. This is the one who guided David's rock to the head of Goliath. This is the one who is the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. This is the one who said that he was our redeemer. This is the one Solomon said was his beloved more than another beloved. This is the one the three Hebrew boys discovered in the fiery furnace. Anybody ever found him there? This is the one Daniel found as a lion in a lion's den. This is the one that Micah foretold was coming to Bethlehem, Jerusalem. This is the one who was born just 33 years ago in Bethlehem of Judea, but you rejected him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Anybody here receive him this morning? This is the one who at the age of 12 puzzled the doctors with his questions and answers. This is the one you saw being baptized of John the Baptist. This is the one that some Pharisees came telling him that Herod was going to kill him. And you heard him tell them, "Go ye and tell that fox, today I cast out devils and I do cures today and tomorrow. And the third day I shall be perfected." You let him know that I'm not scared of him. You let him know that hell can shake. You let him know that the devil can roar. You let him know that the lion can rave. But I'm not scared of him, because the third day I will be perfected. I will come out of a tomb. I will come back from the dead. I will reign supreme. I will hold the keys of death and hell. I am supreme. I am the God. I am the one from everlasting to everlasting who is the same and holds the keys of death and hell. This is the one, Jerusalem, you witnessed healing little children, the lame, the deaf, the mute, the leper, the palsied, the blind, the demon-possessed, the withered and crooked arms, the legs and the hands. This is the one you saw raise the dead to life on at least three different occasions. All of these things, Jerusalem, you've already seen. You've already seen him do this. But what you haven't seen, but what you should know about, because it was written hundreds of years ago to foretell you, and some scenes that you will see within the next week, Jerusalem. He's just come down from the Mount of Olives, and they ask, who is this? You're going to see some things in the next week, scenes that will rock and shake and revolutionize the world, past, present, and future. Jerusalem, you're about to see this man from Galilee be given a mock and kangaroo trial with lying witnesses, deceiving people, and no evidence. Jerusalem, you're about to see something that the world has been waiting for since the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve sinned and were thrown out of the garden, you're about to see a reconciliation between God and man. That's what man has longed for. That's what we are still longing for. A reconciliation between God and man. A pure God and a sinful man. A holy God and an unholy man. A forgiving God and an unforgiving man. A God who knows the way and a man who has lost his way. A shepherd looking for the lost sheep and a man who is the lost sheep. A God who doesn't have to help, and a God who doesn't have to look upon me, and a God who doesn't have to care, but a God that looks upon me, a man that cannot make it without his help. You might not have understood me, Jerusalem, but let me tell you, for I need you to know a little bit more about him. He is the digger of oceans. He is the polisher of stars. He is the hanger of planets. He is the healer of scabs. He is the sparrow's mortician. He is the Passover lamb. He is the feeder of ravens. He is the condemner of sham. He is the lover of children. He is the dispeller of darkness. He is the designer of blooms and soft daffodils. He is the leaves architect. Anybody know who I'm talking about? He is the songwriter for birds. He is the thunder exploder in the dark clouds. He is the painter of sunsets and the blush on babies' cheeks. He is the maker of heroes, those out of the wild. He is the dry desert gardener and Bethlehem's child. He is the weaver of rainbows and bottler of tears. He is the tenor of orchids and the tulip's bright spears. He is the Galilee walker. He is the calmer of waves. He is the full seed of David. He is the conqueror of graves. He's the sower of springtime. He's the breather of wind. He's Calvary's love gift to all who have sinned. Anybody know who I'm talking about? He's Lazarus' raiser and Magdalene's friend. He's the captain and guide at the river's last bend. He's the maniac's escort back home from the tombs. He's the builder of mansions with heavenly robes. He's Abraham's fruit tree. He's Gethsemane's door. He's Christ, all sufficient. I said all sufficient. And more and more and more and more. He's heaven's attraction. He's the main citizen. He's the church's bridegroom. He's the endless amen and amen and amen and amen. I'm telling you who Jesus is. Glory, glory, glory to God. Watch closely, Jerusalem. You're about to see this man you're asking about be whipped. Whipped so fully, that you're not going to recognize that he is the same man you're seeing right into Jerusalem today. But watch out, Jerusalem. Every stripe being placed on his back is for somebody's healing. Not just for today, Jerusalem, but for all ages and for all generations and for somebody in First Assembly in this year. You will think that he is just being flogged because he's an impersonator. But you're wrong again, Jerusalem. For if you could really see with each stripe, some disease is driven out of that body. Hallelujah. The songwriter said it, each drop of blood bought me a million years. A soul was born each time he shed a tear. He loosed the chains that fettered you and me. He bought my soul through death at Calvary. Jerusalem, you're about to see the most awful God-forsaken death you will ever, ever witness. This man whom you're asking about is just about to wrench the powers of death and hell from the enemy of the universe. He is just about to prove his divinity. He's just about to release every soul that ever died looking for the promise of the Messiah. He is just about to do what he said he would do, Jerusalem. You will see him beaten, bruised, spat upon, slapped, mocked, denied, laughed at, humiliated, and forsaken by his own father. Publish it in the headlines, Jerusalem. You should have known, for Micah said, they shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod with up on the cheek. They did. Matthew tells us they did it. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. Look at his hands, Jerusalem. Just look at those palms. Look at the fingers. Look at his thumb. He went about doing good. He picked up little children. He touched a leper when nobody else would touch them. He soothed fevered brows. He picked up the fallen, those hands that reached into the coffin of the son of the widow of Nain, and placed his son back in the bosom of a grieving mother, lifted him out of death, those hands that made a polish of clay for the blind man's eyes, and a man went washed in the pool of Siloam and said, I can see. He's making a polish of somebody here today and putting it on somebody's eyes and somebody's heart and somebody's broken spirit and somebody's life that's broken and mangled and torn and riddled and put apart. Those hands were helping hands that always reached out compassionately to a needy world, to somebody that's lost, to somebody that's dying, to somebody that's sinking, to somebody that's going down. Those hands are still reaching today in the very lost, in the very holes of this world, in the very ghettos of this world, in the mansions of this world. Those hands are still, oh, somebody knows, because you just put your hand in the hand of the Master. Those hands, Jerusalem, are just about to be nailed to an old rugged cross. Jerusalem, they're about to crown him. And that is in mockery, for they're not going to use a crown of diamonds studded. They're not going to use a crown that's filled with all kinds of jewels. This crown is going to be a crown of thorns. And then they will shout, Hail, King of the Jews. But that's not all you're going to see, Jerusalem. You're going to see him crucified on Calvary, stretched high and looking low. It's awful, Jerusalem. It's terrible, Jerusalem. You will never forget the scenes. You will want to, Jerusalem, but you can't. Jerusalem, you are the bloodthirsty ones. You won't be satisfied just crucifying him. You will check it out after he's dead by piercing his side with a spear. You'll want every drop of that blood, and strangely enough, so do I. And so do you. For soldier, you need to listen to the voice of the blood as it drips upon the criminal bones of Calvary. You need to watch that blood. You need to listen to it. For Hebrews tells us that the blood of Jesus speaketh better things than that of Abel. Jerusalem, you will need to ask the soldier if he knows why he just did what he did. Do you know why you strapped him? Do you know why you nailed him? He will tell you, in reality, no, I really don't know. So let me tell you. He just opened the house of David a fountain for sin and uncleanness. When the spear went into his side and that side was opened, it was as the door in Noah's ark in the side that all can come in and be saved. And no man has been able to close that fountain. Hallelujah. For centuries, drunkards and harlots and whoremongers and homosexuals and lesbians and thieves and liars have bathed at that fountain and have walked away clean and been made every bit whole. Somebody ought to give shout to God this morning. For there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood. Lose all. I said lose all. I said lose all their guilty stain. Hallelujah. Jerusalem, you will see him die for sins, but not for his, but for yours and for mine and for the sins of the world. But that's not all. If that were all, we would all be most miserable. We would all be lost. We'd all be hopeless. And we'd be forever damned. There is more to the story, Jerusalem. And I'm thrilled to be able to tell you. You will never witness a death like this one. Never. Never has been a death. Never will be a death like this. For there never has been one in history or in time to come. For when he cries, it is finished. His work on the cross is finished. But in reality, it is just begun. He stepped off of the cross right into paradise. Those who have been waiting for the promise of the Christ, the Savior of the world, Jerusalem, when he died, he whipped Satan just like he said he was going to. He ripped the gates off of hell. He turned the tide of forces of evil. He finished his promise of redemption. He is doing just exactly what he told Herod he would do. On the third day, I shall be perfected. You're to experience an earthquake, Jerusalem, like never before. And disembodied spirits are going to get up, and they're going to tiptoe around Calvary, and rocks are going to crack, and the veil in the temple is going to split, and chickens are going to go to roost at noonday, and bugs are going to crawl back into their holes, and salvation's plan will be done. Hallelujah. And I can walk into the Holy of Holies, and you can walk into the Holy of Holies, and I can be redeemed, glory to God, not by corruptible things of this world, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and by his blood I'm saved. By his blood we're redeemed. By his blood we have a future in heaven. Oh, glory to God. Glory, glory, glory to God. Watch out, Jerusalem. Take a close look again at those hands. He's just about to reach to the Father and reunite those hands that were broken in the Garden of Gethsemane. Reunite those hands of lost humanity. Reunite those hands in First Assembly in Van Buren to the hands of the Father. And when that hand touches mine, hallelujah, somebody knows what I'm talking about. When that hand touches mine, and when he reaches high, high, and he looks low to where I am, and he reaches and touches the hand of the Father, and all at once he cries, it is finished. He reaches as low as he can, for I was mighty low. He reaches as low as he can, for you were mighty low. He reaches way down in the pit, for you were destined, and you were on a slippery slope to hell. But as far as he reached down, he reached that high up, and he said, it is finished. And he pulls me together, and he links my hand with Almighty God. Hallelujah. And when that happened, chill bumps go down my spine, and something happens down in my soul, and I know that I'm redeemed. I know that I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And because he lives, I can live also. My God, my God, my God. Now I'm a child of Jesus. I'm a child of the King. And that's not all, Jerusalem. You've just seen the beginning. Hang around for 3 days, and you're going to see the ending of this scene. You'd better shut up and pay attention. Something major is about to happen. Do you remember Jerusalem, him telling you that on the third day? You remember him telling you? 3 days. As Jonah was in the belly of that whale, 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man is going to be in that grave 3 days and three nights. But you remember on the third day, well, Jerusalem, check it out. Early, early, early in the morning, way before 6 o'clock in the morning, on the third day, something mysteriously happened that has never happened before. And it will never happen again. Two of your own women, Jerusalem, will be going to the grave, and the stone will already be rolled away. And the young man will be sitting there and will tell them that he is not here. He is risen. Hallelujah. Why seek ye the living among the dead? for he is risen as he said he was going to. I said he's alive. Somebody over here needs to tell me he's alive. Somebody over here needs to tell me he's alive. Somebody up here needs to tell me he's alive. He said, I will come out of the grave victorious, and he holds the keys of death and hell in his hand. Oh, glory to God. For very early on that Sunday morning, he walked out of the grave and shouted back at the grave, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? For thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He conquered sin. He conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. He conquered Satan. He conquered lust. He conquered all of our sins, all of our perversions. And he lives to make his promise good. Let me tell you who Jesus is. He's right now and he's after a while. He's my Messiah. He's my King. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my healer. He's my soon coming Redeemer. Let me tell you, Jerusalem, who he is. He's the one who walked along with the two disciples on the Emmaus Road and talked to them after he rose from the dead. And their hearts burned within them. He's the one who cooked the breakfast with the disciples after his resurrection. He's the one who was seen by 200 to over 500 on 13 or 14 different occasions after he rose from the dead. He is the one who walked up to the hillside on the Mount of Olives and said, I'm going away. Oh, but there's a conjunction here, but. I'm going away, but. I'm going to heaven, but. I'll leave you now, but. Just a little bit, but. But I'm going to come again. I'm going to come again. Hallelujah. Just as he told Herod that he was going to rise the third day, he told those people he's going to come again. And I believe every word that he said. It could be on this Easter day. It could be in this afternoon. It could be before you go to bed tonight. And he said, go tarry in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. He is the one the disciples saw step onto a cloud and leave out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said also, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. This same Jesus is coming again. That puts me out on the dock again. That puts me on the launching pad again. That puts me on the deck again. And now I'm looking. Now I'm watching. Now I'm listening. Hallelujah. I'm listening for a sound, and I'm looking for the King to come. He could come this day. If he doesn't come today, I'll be looking for him tomorrow. He's going to come. I said, Jesus is coming. Let me tell you who Jesus is. Jerusalem, I'm glad you asked, for I'm happy to tell you. I'm told that at the University of Chicago Divinity School, each year they have what's called a Baptist Day. On this day, each one is to bring a lunch to be eaten outside on a grassy picnic area. Every Baptist day, the school would invite one of the greatest minds to lecture in the Theological Education Center. One year, they invited Dr. Paul Tillich. Dr. Tillich told for 2.5 hours. He spoke for 2.5 hours, proving that the resurrection of Jesus was false. He quoted scholar after scholar and book after book. He concluded that since there was no thing as a historic resurrection, the religious tradition of the church was groundless, emotional mumbo jumbo, because it was based on a relationship with a risen Jesus who in fact never rose from the dead in any literal sense. He then asked if there were any questions. After about 30 seconds, an old black preacher with a head of short-cropped, woolly white hair stood up in the back of the auditorium. Dr. Tillage, I've got a question, he said. As all eyes turned to him, he reached into his sack lunch and pulled out an apple. and begin to eat on it. Dr. Tillage, crunch. Munch. My question is a simple question. Took another bite of apple. Crunch, munch. Now, I ain't never read them books you read. Another bite of his apple. Crunch, munch. And I can't recite the scriptures in the original Greek. I don't know nothing about Nyberg and Hildegger. Crunch, munch. He finished his apple. He said, all I want to know is this question. Would you answer it? This apple that I just ate, was it bitter or sweet? Dr. Tillage paused for a moment and answered in exemplary scholarly fashion, I cannot possibly answer that question, for I haven't tasted your apple. The white-haired preacher dropped the core of his apple into his crumbled paper bag and looked up at Dr. Tillage and said calmly, neither have you tasted my Jesus. Woo! Glory. Let me tell you who Jesus is. He's the Son of the living God. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. Somebody here has tasted my Jesus. And you know who Jesus is. 1,000 people stood and applauded. Dr. Tillage thanked his audience, promptly left the platform. I would too. I'm telling you who Jesus is. Stand your feet across this room. There's nobody like him.